You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared," someone shout prepared, "to give an answer to" who? "Everyone who asks you to give you the hope or the reason of your faith." The title of this message tonight and the theme for Elevate for the entire month is Apologetics, Defending Your Faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word's true and everybody else is jacked up. So, Lord, we make your word the highest authority and the standard in our lives. So I pray right now, I pray that you give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand. Come on, everybody lay hands on your mind. I pray minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Father, we love your word. Let it be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. So replace my words with yours. Holy Spirit, we invite you because you know Elevate United is yours. Be famous in our lives tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. And amen. What is apologetics? First of all, I love that skit at the beginning of the service. Steve is Hispanic and he's late to everything. He makes all Hispanics look bad, so he missed it. But it was hilarious. It was hilarious. It was great. Steve goes, "Wow." It was awesome. And I loved it because it's so true. You either get the jacked up weirdo who everyone's evil, everyone's going to hell, picketing funerals, you know, hates everyone, hates life, pretends he loves Jesus but hates everyone else. And then you got the other person who's the grace junkie, who's drinking the Jesus juice, who's partying with everybody else and is like, "Woohoo, Jesus, drinking the juice, throwing down the shots, Jesus loves us," you know. And like, both of them, you're like, "Hey, you guys are both making us look so bad." I remember I saw this bumper sticker, it was hilarious. It said, "Jesus, protect me from your followers." I was like, "That's so true. It's so true. Christians make Christians look so bad." What is apologetics? Listen, apologetics is not apologizing for your faith. Apologetics is the defense of what you believe. Now, here's what I want to tell you before I begin to teach on apologetics, is no matter what, Christianity will always take faith because we're saved by faith and grace. But apologetics will silence the critics and stupid people. Notice I said stupid people. Because we just saw a video of them. There are so many people that don't believe anything, but then they make you feel insecure or you feel stupid or you feel ashamed of believing God's word. But they try to make you feel, "Oh, you go to church, oh, you believe that? Oh, that's for weak-minded individuals." That's like saying, "Oh, you know, you're a Navy SEAL, you're a weak-minded individual. Following all the rules, doing push-ups when everyone tells you to do it, holding your breath underwater, laying in waves, going overseas, saving our nation, killing bin Laden." Right. Hold on. So the most disciplined people on the planet are our greatest warriors. Who are great because they follow orders. But you're weak-minded because you're following God. You're weak-minded because you put God's word as the highest authority in your life, as they don't even know what they believe. I just kind of pray out loud. I was watching a movie one time, and this mom was tucking in the kid, and his dog died or something stupid, and he's like, "Mom, Billy's not here anymore." And she's like, "Let's send Billy happy thoughts." I'm like, "What? Throwing things at the TV? Your kid is now forever stupid because you told him we're sending a dead dog happy thoughts." Let's just have demons take our little happy thoughts to our dead dog. What is this? People believe the most crazy, jacked up stuff, and you believe in God's holy word, the greatest religion, the greatest faith that's ever come across the earth, the one, the true, the living God, and you have people make you feel bad about it. And the reason why you feel bad about it is because you're ignorant to the power of it. Here's what the Bible says. It says to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. Matthew 22, 37. It says to love God with all of your mind. Listen, just because we're charismatic, just because we're Pentecostal, just because we're spirit-led, just because we're presence chasers, doesn't mean we have to be stupid. Listen, and the most spiritual people who ever walked the face of the earth were some of the most intellectual. The Apostle Paul, brilliant, had the Torah memorized, would debate kings, would debate Roman emperors, all the religious people. He knew the scriptures, but here's what he said: it's not by might, it's nor by power, it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. Listen, it's not with wiser persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. But it helps to know what you're talking about. Apologetics is learning how to defend your faith. Before I begin teaching on apologetics, I want to let you know that apologetics doesn't save. Jesus does. So we could learn how to defend our faith, but at the end of the day, Jesus saves. The other thing I want to encourage you is this, is never waste your breath arguing with a fool. Okay? Many of you are in high school, it's like 99% fools. So it's really easy to start doing that. There's a difference between a fool and a truth seeker. A fool is usually at a bus stop with Claire earrings on and a fake gold chain. You know, God's kind of everywhere. I'm this is my church. It's this bus. No, bro, it's a bus stop. It's not your church. It's a bus stop. You don't have a car or a J-O-B. This is not your office. You don't have a job, right? Hey, girl, let's go out. Where are you going to go? You don't got a job. You don't got no money. Where are you going to go? Listen, there's a difference between arguing with someone who wants to argue and bringing truth to someone who's desiring to bring truth. Let me give you an example. I preach around the world, and there'll be some people that come up to me after service, and they're like, hey, the Bible doesn't say that. Hey, you spoke in tongues. Where's your interpreter? Hey, there's your, hey. And how I respond to them is, hey, this is my wife, Heather. Talk to her. Okay? I want nothing to do with them. But then there's a difference of someone who comes up after service like, hey, Pastor Landon, you said this. What do you mean by that? My boy Eric came up to me tonight. He's like, hey, bro, when you're preaching the other night, you said this. What do you mean when you said this? So he was asking me questions. He was challenging me on what I said, but not challenging in a bad way. He wanted to know, hey, what do you mean by this? Look, that's a healthy thing. There's a difference between a truth seeker, okay, and someone that just wants to argue for argument's sake. You following me? So what you have to do is you have to determine, who am I talking to? Am I talking to an idiot on the other end of an Xbox line? You know? Okay? Am I talking to a bold punk on social media? Or am I talking to somebody that really, really wants to know? It's amazing how bold people are on social media, and then you get them one-on-one, and all of a sudden, they're not bold anymore. Okay? You have to learn who you're talking to. Apologetics means this: to give a defense of what you believe to be true. We get the word from the Greek word apologia, which means a verbal defense. Okay? So we defend our faith. If you're taking notes, write this down. We defend our faith not because it needs defending, but we defend our faith because it deserves defending. Jesus doesn't need you and I to defend them. But we defend him because he deserves it. One time, Heather and I were at this restaurant, and there's some British guys, and British guys think the F word is like just another syllable or an adjective. And they're dropping mother bombs. I mean, just every other word is a blank, blank, mother blank. And finally, I get up at the table. I was like, hey, guy, I know that you're not from around here, eh? You're from across the pond or whatever. I said, but you're disrespecting my wife. So if you would please change your language, or we're going to have to step outside. No, I didn't say that. If Pastor Brad was there, I would have been like, what? Let's go. You want to mess with that gladiator beard? Let's go. Pastor Brad has like a 300 beard, and I have like a terrorist beard. And these guys are like, sorry, mate. And they wise up. I was like, yeah, that's right. Eat your stupid soup. Welcome to America, America. Look it. I didn't do that because Heather has never heard the F word before. Okay? I did it because they're disrespecting my wife's honor. Look it, we don't defend Jesus because Jesus needs defending. We defend he's our God and he's worth defending. It's putting honor and value. In fact, when a lot of people ask you what religion you are or what do you believe, majority of Christians try to duck under whatever bench, coffee table, or whatever they're at because they're too afraid to give the defense. But the Bible tells us to always be ready to give our reason for our faith. My prayer for you is that you leave Elevate this month through your tribes, that you leave knowing what you believe and why. That is what apologetics is. Again, Christianity will always take faith. Make sure you understand that. The Bible uses the word apologia, where we get the word apologetics, over 8 times. And every time, it's talking about defending the faith. Again, Matthew 22:37 says, you shall love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Listen, part of loving God is learning how to be reasonable. It's learning how to be rational. Part of this is learning how to engage your mind and not check it out the door because we just love God and we love gold dust and feathers and whatever else happens in a service. I've never been in a service where that happens. I'm just using that as a crazy example. Okay, listen, we have to understand this, that even though we love the things of the Spirit and we're presence chasers, that we have to love God using our mind. Now, here's my question for you tonight. I want everybody who's taking notes, write this down. What do you believe and why do you believe it? What do you believe and why do you believe it? Unfortunately, one of the greatest problems in Christianity is majority of Christians believe parts of the Bible. And if you believe parts of the Bible, you might as well believe none of the Bible. Revelation says if you add to this book or take away from this book, kind of like the Mormons, if you add or take away from this book, it says the curses of this book will be upon you. Jesus says if you deny me or my words, I'll deny you before the Father. So we can't say I love Jesus, but, you know, I guess God's a God of love and two people have the right to love each other and if they're two dudes or if they're two girls, I guess it doesn't matter. Because the problem is the Bible doesn't say that. Well, even if we, you know, Pastor Landon, aren't we just married in God's eyes and we love each other and we love God, so it's like we're married in God's eyes. Nope, you're screwing in God's eyes and it's fornication. It's adultery, and the Bible says the fornicator will not enter the kingdom of God. Uh-oh. But what if I really, really love him? Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. So I guess you really, really, really don't love him. I guess you just love him like you love Beyonce. And that's jacked up. Come on, somebody. We have to know what God's word says. If you don't know what you believe, you can't defend it. It's interesting. One of the biggest criticisms about God being real or people believing if there's a God is this. If there's a God, why do so many bad things happen in the world? How many have heard someone say that before? Okay, and I love it. You'll notice this. When anyone's trying to like, I'm not supposed to come down here. When people are trying to like stump you on God, they get so like pious, and they get all of a sudden they're like, Buffy. Like they go to a country club, they're like, oh, you're God. I'm like, why are you talking all of a sudden weird? What are you doing that? It's weird. Stop doing that. But they get so confident in their stupid suggestions. Like if there's a God, then why do bad things happen to good people? Now let's look at that question. If there's bad things happening to people, doesn't that just prove there's a devil? How does that disprove God? That just proves there's a devil. And it's funny because I've never been in one conversation ever where someone's like, hey, prove that there's a devil. No one ever brings the devil up, but they want to bring God up. So if there's bad things happening because there's bad people in the world doing bad things because we live in a fallen world because the first two people sinned against God and put us into a fallen world, and even after God destroyed the earth through right and left righteousness through Noah, the next group of people were even worse. It's amazing. Even when God gave one commandment, don't touch the stupid tree. You can run around butt naked and eat all of the fruit. You could be naked and not afraid. Just don't touch this tree. They got to have what? The one tree. Satan tempted them with the one tree. Why come? You can have this tree. Oh, God would say, you have any tree? Don't you want that tree? Does that tree smell good? Watch, this is how the enemy works. He will always come to try to deceive. He will always come to try to get you to break God's commandments. Satan doesn't have to prove himself, but God does. It's amazing in that video clip. Wow. It was such a great compilation. Thanks, media team. If you're into videos, you need to join our media team. They're awesome. So you got this great compilation of people. One of them makes up his own name for God. God's the ultimate source, love, and Da Vinci Code. I don't know what he said. It was something like that. He had his little sci-fi name. He loves sci-fi movies. I can guarantee that. But what stuck out to me more than anything is when one of the girls said with such passion, well, what's right for you may not be right for me. And what's truth for me might not be truth for you. Listen, one of the growing attacks against God's word is relative truth versus absolute truth. I know these are some big words for some of our younger kids, but it basically means this. Relative truth means what that girl says. What's true for you may not be true for me. And what's true for me may not be true for you. And so here's the problem. It's the relative truth people say there's no absolute truth. The problem with saying that is they just created an absolute with that statement. Now, here's the problem. If what's relative for you or what's truth for you isn't truth for me, it means this. One of us has to be wrong. And then here's the problem. Is when we die, we're gambling with eternity. One of the greatest philosophers ever to walk the earth was a man named Pascal. And he argued God through mathematics. He said, believing in God is just logical. For everybody that says it's stupid, it makes no sense. It's not rational. You're right. Believing in nothing is way more rational. He says this, if God was a math equation, your 50-50 chance guessing that he exists or he doesn't. If he doesn't exist, then what does it matter anyway? If he does exist, it's worth believing in him. Just for rationality's sake. It's amazing. It's amazing how stupid the world is. It's amazing that they want to marvel at the creation, but not admit that there's a creator. Have you ever looked at a painting and said, man, that's cool how that, where there was nothing and that just became something? Or your favorite song, someone wrote it. Someone designed it. The most famous sculptures, all the nude pictures that Michelangelo did and all that obsession stuff. All of those, all the famous art, everyone wants to know who the artist is. Listen, creation demands a creator. So let's pretend for a second how they say evolution happened. That's what the Bible says. God says there was a big bang, and he spoke the world into existence. Something out of nothing, he creates the heavenlies. Listen, guys, it just makes sense to believe in God. Not only God, but the God of the Bible. I'm going to teach you about having the best defense. The best apologetics is having a good offense. So I'm going to go over tonight the three challenges to arguing against Christianity, or the three main challenges that come against believing the Bible, believing in Jesus, believing in Christianity. Are you ready? Number one, the number one challenge against God's word is this, is the Bible isn't historically accurate. How many have heard someone say that or challenge that or in school or different thing? Almost everybody in this room. The Bible isn't historically accurate, okay? If anyone ever challenges you with that statement, is all you need to do is ask them one question. Look at it, I'm not down on the floor. I'm still on the stairs. Is all you have to do, so the balcony people can see me. I got lectured by this. I got to stay on the stairs. Is all you need to do is ask them one question in return. What is the second most historically accurate book on the planet? If they cannot give you the answer, they're not a truth seeker. They are full of it. Okay? Because if they really want to know truth, then they would have investigated what is the most accurate historical book on the planet. And the most historically accurate book on the planet is the Bible. I'm going to teach you what makes a book historically accurate. They take two different strategies for determining the historical accuracy of any ancient text. The first thing they do is they measure how many original copies of the original document or the original manuscript of original text. After that, they judge the amount of time from the first written copy to the first original copy. Are you following me? Okay, so two things. This is how all historical ancient texts are dealt with. Okay, so when you ask them what the second most historically accurate book on the planet is, if they can't give you that answer, it means they never researched this. Media guys, throw up my pictures. This is hard to see. I want you to see this. Okay. It should be in reverse order, but that's okay. The New Testament. Look at this. Look to the far right. There's 5,600 original copies of the original text. Someone say 5,600. Now look at, this is what even secular historians adhere to. This is only translated in Greek. If you take the other languages of original copies, there are over 20,000. Watch, the second most historically accurate book on the planet is Homer's Iliad, the top one. Look how many copies, 643. 20,000. Let's narrow it down. Fine. 5,600 for argument's sake compared to 643. Look at this. Look at Aristotle. 49. Caesar's 10. Plato 7. Now here's what's crazy. How many of you have ever been in a conversation where people are arguing the historical accuracy of the writings of Plato? Never. Someone stands up in the middle of class. This is nonsense. Aristotle's not accurate. There's only 49 copies of the original manuscript. Never, ever, only the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Look at this. The Bible was written, within 100 years or one lifetime from the original manuscript. Let's look at Homer's 500 years, five lifetimes. Guys, this is crazy. Aristotle's 1,400 years. You know how much stuff goes down in 1,400 years? From the first copy. Look at, if someone's challenging the accuracy of the Bible, okay, if you're a thinking, reasoning individual, you have to question every single ancient text ever written. If you don't, you're a hypocrite and you're full of it. Look at it. What it means is this, here's what I'm teaching you. It proves they're not truth seekers. They're Jesus haters. They're Bible haters. They hate the things of God. Do you know the difference between all of these things? The New Testament says Jesus is the only way. It says that if you continue to live a life of sin, you'll be separated from God. People don't want to hear that, even though it's the most accurate historical book on the planet. Now, let me just tell you this. This is crazy. Why wouldn't the most historically accurate book on the planet be in schools? Someone figure that out for me. Well, you know, someone rationalize that. Let's use logic for that. This is insanity. Okay, now it doesn't even take faith. This is just logic. This just makes sense. Here's what your pastor's teaching you. Listen, not only is your Bible God's holy word, but it's the most accurate historical book in the world. Take a screenshot of that, post that, memorize that, use that. Listen, anytime someone comes flailing at you, and they're always puffed up, and they're always cocky because they heard their dad say something stupid. My dad can beat up your dad. Plato can beat up Jesus. No, he can't. It's crazy. So when someone comes at you talking about the historically accuracy of the Bible, listen, they have to throw out every book in the world. Not only that, but when they argue about the accuracy, so this is our second question, okay? Second question again. Number one is the Bible isn't historically accurate. Number two, how can the Bible be translated and still be accurate? I hear this all the time. And they say, immediately they puff up their chest and they get so cocky. How could the Bible be translated so many times? Look, we're not playing a game of telephone in fourth grade. How many play the game of telephone? You're like, Sarah wears a blue dress. At the end, it's like Billy eats monkey doo-doo. You're like, how'd that happen? Because some punk halfway through it is like, Billy eats monkey doo-doo. Okay? Okay, listen. This is crazy talk, okay? Because they act like they translated the Bible from Greek to Hebrew, from Hebrew to English, from English to Spanish, from Spanish to Spanglish, from Spanglish to Ebonics. Like, we can't even trust it anymore, yo. No, watch. Okay, and they say, like, how could it happen? Okay, you use a dictionary, right? Right? How do they translate that? One word at a time. Some of you just got, like, your minds just got blown, like, whoa, bro. Can't even believe this. I'm not even smoking my e-cig. Dude, the e-cig stands in the mall. My gosh. Okay. Listen. It doesn't get translated from a language to a new language to a new language to a new language. It gets translated from Greek to Hebrew, from Greek to English, from Greek to German, from Greek to Spanish. Like they're trying to make this more complicated. Like, how is it even possible?
Watch this. Hello, Jose.
Hola.
I'm a very attractive man. Whoa! My mind was just blown. How is that possible? Come on, are you following me? But they say it with such confidence. How is it even possible?
Well, like every other book in the world. We know. It can't be.
It's like when you found out Santa Claus. Was it real?
My dad's a liar.
Okay, watch. By secular standards, the only inaccuracies of the Bible, of the New Testament, is 2%. And the 2% has to do with spelling and grammar.
It's not accurate.
It's like saying this stage is black, this stage is a dark color, this stage has a darkening shade about it. What are we saying? It's dark. Is it black? Some of you are colorblind. Is it navy blue? We don't know, okay? It's a dark shade. How many are with me? Does it matter? No. Nothing in question has anything to do with doctrine, the death, the resurrection, or Jesus declaring to be God, die on the cross, die for our sins, raise again, and be our salvation, and justify us and make us right with God. Nothing. Nothing. It's talking about spelling. Small, minute misspells is the only thing in question. But they make it sound like, one guy messed up spelling the. How could you believe that? Number three. The Bible was written by man, not God. Okay, again, listen. Part of the strategy of the world, of Satan, is to intimidate you. And what do people do when they get intimidated? They back down. The devil's the greatest bully in the world. You want to talk about bullying? No one is bullied more than Christians worldwide. No one. There's 187 African Christians in a Bible college that Muslims came in and slaughtered them all. It didn't even make the news in America because they're Christians. If they're beheaded and they're Christians, it will barely make the news unless it gets leaked. Christians are the most persecuted people, but that's cool because Jesus said we would. And then he said we'd be blessed because of it. Okay, so they tried to intimidate you with saying stuff like, it was written by man. You ready? Let's use the same logic. Someone say logic. Say reason. Say use your brain. Every other book was too. Mind blown, 2 seconds. Pow. Every other book was too. And nobody is criticizing Plato or Socrates. You following me? Okay, so what's the difference between the Bible and every other book? Here's the breakdown. The Bible was written by about 40 men over the course of 1,600 years. The Bible, we say approximately because we don't know how many authors there were in Psalms. So approximately 40 men, watch, over 1,600 years. And from the Old Testament to the prophetic books to the Gospels to the epistles, watch, everything points to Jesus. Could you imagine if we took 40 of us and everybody went into separate rooms and were like, all right, everybody write a story. We'll see how it turns out. What we would come up with? Our parents would think that we legalized marijuana and we're all toking on it. That's what it would be craziness. None of it would make sense. But watch the Bible. This is God. Watch God's word. 40 authors, 1600 years, hundreds of years before Jesus, the prophetic authors are talking about him coming. Talking about his stripes that we would be healed by. Talking about suffering. Look, at this is crazy, guys. All throughout the Bible, even you can go study this on different websites, Carm, go Google it. It's amazing. Even where the Bible said there were cities, those cities were there when they went to dig for them. It means the landscapes that the Bible said were there, were there. The lakes, the rivers, the bodies of water, the places, all of these things, prophecy fulfilled. Guys, it is absolute, this is where it takes faith. It is absolutely insane that 40 authors, over 1,600 years are all writing something, and all of it points to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Steve and I were in San Francisco and we got in a cab, and this Islamic dude like locked the doors and he's like, I am going to teach you, boy, something. And he's like, do you believe that Jesus is God? And we said, yeah. He said, I just believe he's a prophet. I said, then you must believe his words when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. Shut up, I am talking. <laughs> 30 minutes later, I'm like, bro, we gotta go, man. We gotta go. Late for a meeting. Listen, so many people will acknowledge Jesus being a prophet. If you acknowledge him being a prophet, then you have to believe what he said. I love the Mormon strategy. They're like, hey, we're Christians too. Except we don't believe what the Bible says. We don't believe what Jesus says. We don't believe what they said. We don't say, hey, you ever see John Smith? I'm like, yeah, I watched Pocahontas. No. If you believe the Bible, you believe in Jesus. And you believe what Jesus said. Well, it's just rational. All right, I'm concluding with this. If I can, the band come back up. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong for our lives. I'm going to read that one more time. Get up on the screens, guys. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is inspired by God. What does that mean? It means that God spoke to a man, and a man wrote God's words. It says it's all useful. What is it useful for? Now, this is why they don't let it in the school, okay? Listen, this is the logic behind it. It is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong for our lives. If they keep the Bible out of school, out of the government, out of life, then there's hope that you won't see what's wrong in your life. That you won't see sin in your life. That you won't have conviction in your life. See, look it, you have to understand this. Hear me, young people, hear me. Because sometimes you can get frustrated because you go back to school, you're on fire, it's been an amazing summer. We believe God, we're full of faith. And then we go back to school, and it's such a challenging environment. Some of you college students, I know what you feel. I remember I was with Steve. We had a church here in Tucson, Covenant Church, and ministering. And it was this crazy prophetic night. There's this like 6'5", big dude. I don't know if he was Hispanic or Native, but he was this big dude. Kind of biker-looking guy. And I stood in front of him, and I had this prophetic word. I saw this vision. I saw him. I told him, I said, bro, I see you as a warrior, and I see your foot on the head of a demon. And this dude turned pale white. He stands back like this and just looks at me like I'm a crazy white boy. He rolls up his sleeve, and he has a tattoo of a warrior with his head on a demon. And as soon as he showed it to me, I heard the Lord say, you put it on your arm, now it's in your spirit. Then I get a text from Pastor Waylon. He said, hey, I saw you're on Twitter, you're in Tucson. Come down to U of A, come preach. So Steve and I jump in the car, we go racing over. I don't know, the service started like 11 o'clock or something late. And we're running down there, and Steve's like, hit me. He's like, bro, we just came out of this crazy service. It's going to be amazing. He was so hyped. He was so excited. We get there, and I start preaching. And it was the second hardest environment I've ever preached in my entire life. And it was full of a lot of you and Edge students. I don't know if some of you remember that night. It was so hard. And I remember thinking as I'm preaching, why is this so hard? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, because this land's not dedicated to me. Do you know why it's so challenging? Because it's not about reason. You're going to your schools where demons have authority. You're going to schools where they celebrate what God calls sin. I'm going to teach you next month. Homosexuality has more in common with Satanism than it does Christianity. In fact, you could read out of the Satanic Bible and it'll word for word support what the gay affirming churches declare. It's crazy. Isaiah 5 says this, a day is coming where men will call good evil and evil good. Hear me, young people. So if the entire world is telling you that what God calls evil is good, what is going to cause you to stand your ground, keep your faith, fight the good fight, and walk out your Christian walk? Can I be honest with you? I don't always know what to do. I don't always know what's right. I don't know what the best decision is to make. Heather and I will come together and we'll talk. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? I don't know. And you know what we do? We go to God's word and we pray. And the disciples and the Elevate leaders and the tribe leaders, they'll always hear me say this. What is the scripture that supports that? And if there's not scripture that supports it, you're on your own, Jack. I don't know about you. I'm not smart enough to do this without God. I'm not talented enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not skilled enough. And if you think I'm a weak-minded Christ follower, I'm a weak-minded person, I would rather be weak and let God be strong in my life. Stand your feet all over this place. Vita, I want you to go back into that worship song, going to the bridge. Listen. Here's what I felt over you. Everyone in the balcony, hear me. As I was praying into this service, you know what's powerful about loving God with your mind? It allows you to love him with your spirit all the more. Watch this. When you know you serve the God with the most historically accurate book on the planet. Okay, ready? Don't you think in 2000 or whatever they think it's like 22 trillion billion years or whatever the earth, don't you think in 22 trillion gazillion bazillions of years that they would have debunked the Bible by now? Yeah, like Time Magazine comes out, oh, the real Jesus, Mary Magdalene, what's up? What are you going to do, okay? There's no evidence. They're full of it. Listen. They come over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Watch this. And only our God is big enough and bad enough to take it on the chin over and over and turn his chin and let him hit this side. And turn his chin and let him hit this side. And turn his chin and let him hit this side. Listen, because when you're the truth, when you're the way, when you're the life, it doesn't matter how many lies go out. The truth will always last. And the devil only has lies, but what we have is the truth. And the Bible says this, that the truth will set you free. So here's what we're going to do. When you know You're serving the truth. It allows you to praise him with all of your spirit. So we're going to do two things. Somebody's going to get saved tonight. And then we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, or with our minds and spirit at the same time. So everybody's looking around. In the balcony, come on, look down, look around. Everybody's looking around. Here's what I want to know. Who wants to rationally, logically give their life to Jesus? Who wants to say, I'm not the only one like Landon that's not smart enough, talented enough, good enough to do this on my own? I need a God. I need Jesus. I know there's sin in my life. I know there's weakness in my life, and I can't do it on my own. I need God. If you say tonight, Landon, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I'm convinced with my mind. Come down to this altar as fast as you can. Come down to this altar as fast as you can. I want to give my life to the Lord. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.